Proverbs chapter 22, this evening, reading from verses 2 through 5. He says here, "The rich and the poor meet together, and the Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doeth keep his soul shall be far from them." Heavenly Father, again tonight, we thank You for this privilege that You've given us. And Lord, we ask for Thy blessings to be upon the meeting this evening. Not only the preaching, but the singing, our fellowship together, and also the prayer meeting afterwards. We pray, Lord, for Your presence to be with us, and we pray, Lord, for help as we continue to work our way through Proverbs. We just pray for Thy guidance and Thy leading. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we kind of camped out in verse 1, or the week before last, and we titled that A Good Name. And we're going to title, I'm going to take my title tonight. We have each verse is a different subject. But I'm just going to take the title from verse 3. I'm just going to title this The Prudent Man. And this is our, like I said, our second message in this chapter. And each verse, again, is a different subject. Well, notice in verse 2, we find similar thoughts of this throughout this book between, you know, the rich and the poor. But here he says, the rich and poor meet together, and the Lord is the maker of them all. Now, you can write down Psalms 49, verse 1 and 2. When he says here, the rich and the poor meet together, in other words, both live together in society, and both need one another. That may sound strange, you know, to some. But divine providence has ordered it to be so. And we know Jesus Himself said the poor will always be with you. They'll always be rich and poor, you know, in the world. The rich need the poor in labor and working. And the poor need the rich for employment. And so they both are to help each other. And God gives riches and God gives poverty to whom that He pleases. And so it's just a statement here that shows us that both live together in society and need one another. But notice he goes on to say, he not only says the rich and the poor meet together, but he said the Lord is the maker of them all. Now, as we come through the scriptures, and I was originally going to turn to 1 Corinthians, but I'm just going to give you the chapter. But if you go to 1 Corinthians 12 and begin reading in verse 12 through about verse 23, 24, you'll find that, of course, there it's referring to the church. And it's not just a universal church. It's referring also to the local church. And you'll find that the eye cannot say to the foot, there's no need of you. In other words, he goes through several scenarios. He talks about the one body with many members, and every member is very, very important. In other words, they're equally important in the body. And so as we come here and look at this, he said that the Lord is the maker of them all. That is, both are equally important in the eyes of God, whether it be the rich or the poor or anywhere in between. Acts chapter 17, verse 26, the Bible speaks as one blood. All are of the same family and of the same parents. God created us all. In Genesis 1 and verse 27, we are all created in the image of God. And we all have things common. In other words, where it be rich or poor or in between, we have things in common. There's a common salvation that we all share. Have to get saved the same way. Jude verse 3 and 4. There's also a common, we're all born in sin. We're all born in sin, every human being, whether rich or poor. There's that common salvation. There's a common death. Point of man wants to die. And then after that, the judgment. And so there's just things that we share together. But I think the point here in this passage is that the rich and poor live together in society and need one another. And that the Lord is the maker of them all, showing both are equally important in the eyes of God. Now notice in verse 3, he says here in verse 3, he said, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." I want you to notice with me in chapter 27. In chapter 27, notice that this is repeated. The exact verse is repeated again here in chapter 27, verse 12. And I give you this because we find this word prudent 12 times in the book of Proverbs. We've already come through most of them. This one here in chapter 27 is the last. He said in verse 12, he said, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Let's go back to verse chapter 22 and verse 3. And again, you'll find this word in chapter 13 and 14. Find it three times in chapter 14. We've done come through these and made comments on it. You'll find it in 15, 16, 18, 19, and here now in chapter 22, and then the last one, chapter 27. Prudent man, the prudent man, by the help of providence, by the help of God, with foresight, he foresees, I should put it that way, foresees the evil before that it comes and hides himself. In other words, protects himself. And you write down, I'll give you two verses in particular, chapter 14, verse 16, and then chapter 16 and verse 21. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah just for a moment, Isaiah 26. Notice with me in Isaiah chapter 26. Now the prudent man, again, so what does this mean? Well, we have the subjects of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, you know, as we read through the Bible, and especially the book of Proverbs. Well, the word prudent, it is knowledge and wisdom put in practice. You can have wisdom and have knowledge and understanding, but not incorporate them in your life like you should. So when we talk about the word prudent, it is knowledge and wisdom literally put into practice. And there's some synonyms that we could use, like being cautious, circumspect, being practically wise, not just knowing wisdom and having wisdom, but being practically wise in our lives. It has the ideal of careful, of consequences of the actions that we do. And so it's a good word and has a good meaning. You also have, by the way, the word prudence given to us one time in chapter 8 and verse 12. Now, why this is important is that we see here that the prudent man, again, by the help of God, will foresee evil before it comes and hides himself or protects himself. And we know that many can see evil when it comes, you know, but we're talking about seeing the evil before it comes, foresight. And so that comes by the providence of God and the help of God. Now, notice as we come here to the book of Isaiah, and also if you're taking notes, Psalms 91, verses 1 through 12. We find it begins with a hiding place. God is our hiding place. He protects us. He brings us under His wings, as it speaks about there. And so the prudent man will always seek the Lord as his refuge. And God will reveal things to the prudent man or the prudent woman, so that they can avoid certain circumstances that would bring harm to them. Now, notice here in Isaiah chapter 26, I'm just going to read verse 20, but I do want to back up and read two other verses that we're familiar with. But notice in verse 20, the Lord says here, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber." In other words, like a shelter or whatever. And he says, "And shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed." And so here we see the Lord again giving warning to his people before the indignation ever comes. And so they can hide themselves from it and protect themselves from that. And again, the average person, they would see it after that it come and it brought destruction. Notice in verse 3 and 4, we're all familiar with this. You find in verse 1 the word song. This is a song of praise. You find in verse 1 a city, a strong city. It's going to be Jerusalem. You find in verse 2 a nation that is returning from captivity. But notice in verse 3 and 4, he said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Verse 4, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." So we find in this chapter, there's more in this chapter, but we find the having this perfect peace, not just peace, but perfect peace, whose minds are stayed upon the Lord, and those who trust Him. And then we find our hiding place in verse 20, as we just read. Now go back with me to our text. And so we see, and we could preach a whole message just on the prudent man or the prudent woman. And it's a very important verse. And you say, why did God give it to us twice? He figured we'd miss the first one. And so he made sure that we got a hold of this. So we find this verse in here twice. It's not by accident. He said in verse 3, reading this again, he said, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." I'll give you a couple of other examples of this. I want you to listen to Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 7. This is in reference to Noah. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. It said, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet." Now think about that. Looking ahead. God has given him revelation that something is going to take place upon the earth. So it says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet," that is water coming from heaven and the great universal flood. It said this. Now here's a prudent man. He took measures. He listened to God and he did something before it ever come. It says, "He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world." In other words, his work building this ark, the world said it was wrong. And so it says he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So Noah was a prudent man. He listened to God and he got to see something or foresee something that before it ever came, years before it ever came, and he prepared for that, and it was his family, he and his family, that was saved from the destruction. Now, there's many examples that we would see like this in the Scripture. Now, I'll give you an example where folks did not heed or did not know. And one of those is the first four verses of Matthew 16, where the Lord is speaking about the Pharisees here. He continues later and speaks about their doctrine. But it says here in verses 1 through 4, "And the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sun is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky." And those things are true, by the way. He says you can discern the face of the sky. And they could. But he also says, "But cannot ye discern the signs of the times?" Now I want you to think about this. The signs of the times in the first century, the Jewish people had a timeline laid out from them. And it was from the time that they left to go back to leave captivity and to rebuild Jerusalem and Jerusalem in Daniel chapter 9. There's a timeline of so many years from that time, that date, until Messiah would come. He had to come at the time that he came. And so they could have known. They had the scripture. They had the timeline. And he says, you can discern the face of the sky by what it's going to be like in the morning or in the evening. And these things are so true. But he said, you could not discern the things of the Word of God. In other words, they ignored them. The same is true not only when Christ came and presented himself as the Messiah, but we find in putting a few verses together in Matthew 24, I'm not going to turn there, verse 15 through 20, we find that the Lord told the believers, he told the believers in Jerusalem, he said to them to flee when they would see the abomination of desolation. He told them to flee. The book of Luke in chapter 21 and verse 20 refers to the armies. In other words, the Roman armies. We know because of history, Titus and the Roman army in AD 70. But he told his people, he said, flee when you see this. And many in Israel, not only the zealots, but others, they chose to fight against the Roman government at this time, the superpower of the world at that time. And they lost that battle, and over 1 million was killed, and a few hundred thousand carried into slavery. But we find that according to historians, they say that not one Christian died in the siege of Jerusalem in AD 70. In other words, they were warned, they had foresight, and he said, when you see this, you flee because something else, destruction, is coming. So that's the ideal as we come here to chapter 22 and in verse 13, that's the ideal that we have here. According to Hebrews 6:18, we have a refuge, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice he mentions something else here. He says in verse 3, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." The simple here, notice in chapter 21, back one chapter, verse 11. Chapter 21 and verse 11. Now you're going to find the simple, not only the prudent many times in Proverbs, but you're going to find the simple. And the simple is the one that is naive, careless, foolish, which do not see the danger. They're just devoid of the grace of God. And you can start off in chapter 1 and verse 4. And find the simple mentioned, and then in verses 20 through 23 of chapter 1. And then you've noticed as we've worked our way through the book of Proverbs, we keep seeing that word. But notice here in chapter 21 in verse 11, he said, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Then he talks about the righteous man in verse 12. Notice the simple can be made wise. The simple, they're naive and careless and foolish, but they can be made wise. But in general, many times the simple do not take heed to the warning of God Almighty. In Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, we know there, and we just read this about a week or 2 weeks ago in another sermon, that the false teachers, that they deceive the hearts of the simple. They do not deceive the hearts of the prudent or the wise and whatever, but they deceive the hearts of the simple and lead them astray. So we've got the prudent and the simple in contrast here in the passage. And again, a simple man or a simple woman in the text that is naive, whatever, they can be made, you know, they can have wisdom. They can have that. And the Lord in chapter 1 cries out to the simple and begs them to receive the wisdom and knowledge of God and to receive Him. He pleads with them in the streets and on the corners and whatever, that they would come unto Him. Well, notice now as we come to verse 4, he says in verse 4, and again, this is a recurring subject throughout the Scripture. Now, I do not apologize for keep talking about these subjects. We not only find these in Proverbs, we find them Old Testament, New Testament. But notice in verse 4, he said, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. An amazing statement of humility, humbleness, a modest or low view of oneself. Has the ideal of meekness as well. Not Sunday night, but a week from Sunday night, we'll have a list of words in our text in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 and 12. And one of those words is meekness, as well as righteousness and other things that God told Timothy to follow. We just read those this past Sunday night. So we find here humility. The Bible said in Matthew 5 and verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I want to read familiar passages, but I want to read, if you want to turn with me, 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice with me in 1 Peter chapter 5. So we're talking about in our passage humility and the fear of the Lord. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm going to read from verse 5 through verse 11. From verse 5 through verse 11. And we read a verse also recently. It was either Sunday or the Sunday before in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. I think I told you I preached an entire message on that within the last few years. But you have God dwelling in heaven. And it says, but He also, and I'm putting this in my own words, He also dwells in the hearts of the humble. And that's humbling to think about, but it's awesome also to think about as well. That our God that dwells in heaven, He dwells in the hearts of the humble. Well, notice here in verse 5, and He's not only speaking to the younger, He's speaking to all of us. He said in verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. In other words, wear this as we wear clothing. Put it on and wear it. He said, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And that's exactly what we're seeing in Proverbs 22:4. And He said in verse 3, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfastly in the what? In the faith. How do we resist the devil? by faith and through Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can resist Him. We cannot fight Him on our own. It's impossible. And He says, knowing that the same afflictions, verse 9, knowing that the same afflictions are accompanied in your brethren that are in the world. So, Christians were going through the same thing in other places. He said in verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we have from verse 5 through 10 here, we have the issue of humility as well as other things. Notice with me in the book of James, in chapter 4. James chapter 4. I want to read in the book of James. Notice with me as we come to verse James chapter 4, verse 5. I'm going to read from verse 5 to about verse 10. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to eat envy? But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Again, we know how to resist him through faith. And he said in verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaven. Is humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. So the issue of humility and meekness we will see all through the Scripture. Now go back with me and notice in verse 4 again. He says here in verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. The fear of the Lord, we find, is given to us throughout this book as well. We went back many times, but in chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is so important because he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And again, you'll find this fear in chapter 8 and verse 13. And you'll find it again in chapter 16 and verse 6. And those are just a few. There's many times that we find this. So, humility has the ideal of humbleness and a modest or a low estimation or view of ourselves. In other words, to be meek and see ourselves as lowly. But now he mentions the fear of the Lord, and we're to have a high estimation of the Lord and view him with reverence and awe and respect. Now, notice the three blessings that are mentioned here. He said in verse 4, he said, by humility and fear of the Lord, notice our riches. Well, you can write down chapter 3 and verse 16. God supplies all of our needs, does He not? We also have honor that is mentioned here. Write down chapter 21, verse 21. I could give you 100 verses, but I'm just going to give you one of each. And honor, high respect and great esteem that God will lift us up on high. And then the last word here is life. This could mean long life. It could mean happiness and joy. It could mean eternal life, or it could mean them all. But Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 and verse 20, there's many other verses, but that's a good verse to go along with this. One writer said, the bending of the humble is the grateful droop of the branches laden with fruit. In other words, as the branches have the fruit, bear the fruit as they bend over. It's almost like they're humbling themselves, but they're loaded with fruit. And as we humble ourselves, God has promised that we will have fruit, and He's promised that He will bless us. Well, notice as we come to our last verse, in verse 5, He says here in verse 5, He said, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doeth keep his soul shall be far from them." The forward, and I always have trouble with that word, but basically it means that which is crooked and perverse. In other words, one who is contrary to God's law. And his stubbornness, he mentions the thorns and the snares, his stubbornness brings him, or her stubbornness brings her, into perplexities. And we find the thorns and snares here just basically, you could write down chapter 2, verses 12 and verse 15. It describes various difficulties, trials, troubles, many dangers that they bring themselves in the rebellion against God. So verse 5, he said here, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward." But notice the contrast, "He that doeth keep his soul shall be far from them." Let us close in one verse in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 18. We'll close here. "Through righteousness we preserve our souls, do we not? And through humility." Notice as we come to 1 John chapter 5, and I just want to read one verse that will tie in with what we've just looked at. In verse 18, now you might scratch your head a little bit as you read this verse when he says, "Those that are born again sinneth not," but we've talked through this and we spent a lot of time on this subject in our series on 1 John. But notice in verse 18, he said, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not." In other words, they're overcomers. They don't dwell and live in sin. They don't live in perpetual sin. And he goes on to say, "But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." Three times we've seen the issue of humility and the devil and his opposition against us. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ that we can flee and that we can be saved from the wicked one. Would you stand with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank You this evening again for this privilege that You've given us to assemble together. We pray, Lord, Your will to be done and remain the service. Lord, bless the singing, bless the prayer time together, the prayer requests that will be lifted up. And we ask all of these things in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.